Barry, we know that this last year, very particularly for you, has been in some ways a difficult one. You mentioned in an earlier podcast about the passing of your mother this year. And we also have mentioned, and it's been on the Gentle Reformation blog, that a man who meant an incredible amount to you as one who helped really disciple you and was a father in the faith also died and met Jesus. And yet, as Christians, you know, this is when we learn to live in the tension between mourning death, and which we should, but rejoicing in the resurrection. But I was wondering, you know, you've learned by experience a lot in this last year, grief. And I'm wondering if you want to share some reflections on that, maybe some biblical thoughts just on the idea of Christian grief.
Yes, it has been difficult these last days. And I just had someone come up to me, a good friend, recently, and just say, "Hey, how are you doing?" And, you know, just to be honest, I said, I'm sad. I'm still struggling and feeling the void in my life from losing my mentor and my good friend. And yet it's not just me that experiences grief. Obviously, so many people go through it. It's incredible just at the seminary this last week. We've prayed for one church and people in the church who knew this family whose five-year-old son just died from brain cancer. One of my students who's in my preaching class was performing a funeral for his wife's grandmother. One of the professors there is having to do a funeral this weekend for a cousin of his that died just suddenly and most likely apart from the Lord. So all these difficult things come up in our lives regarding grief. And I throw this back at you guys just for a second here. Do you think the American church, do you think we grieve well or rightly or properly? Have you ever thought about that, how well we grieve?
You know, it's funny you ask that because, as you may know, my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, recently died. He was young, early 40s, died suddenly. And that was very hard. So yeah, we had weeks where going to church, everyone around us is, for the most part, pretty upbeat and happy, and we're feeling hollow, devastated, you know. And do I think the church does this well? I think it just depends on the church, honestly. I think there are a lot of churches that are a little too happy, clappy, and shallow, and they paste a bit of. They think Christianity is you need to, if you aren't smiling and, you know, carrying yourself in a certain happy way, then you really aren't maybe as spirit filled as you ought to be.
Have you been to churches or funerals where they call them, instead of a funeral, they call it a celebration service? And
I've heard of those, yeah.
Well, I've been to a few of them, of friends who've lost people in their lives, and they'll even say things like, so-and-so's in heaven, and they don't want us to be sad now, so we're not going to be sad, we're not going to cry. And there's just this whole attempt to make this loss not feel like a loss, and rather we're just celebrating their graduation to heaven. And it really feels like you're trying to hold a graduation ceremony or something like that, rather than what I think is of as a funeral.
Well, it isn't the reality. You could say that, and there's some truth to that, right? Mm-hmm. But the reality is when you're there, why is it that everything within you just wants to really break and you just want to weep? It's unavoidable. You can't help it. In the same way that if something's truly funny, you can't help but laugh. Or if, you know, if you enjoy holding a baby, you can't help but enjoy it. In the same way, you cannot put a cap on grief. It has to come out.
Well, I thought just I would share a few thoughts regarding, you know, how as Christians we should grieve, and just some ideas, and you guys are feel free to respond to them. But the first one's along the lines of what you're saying there, Austin, is that grief is a God-given emotion, a God-given response to loss, and we should really receive it that way. The Lord wants us to be able to grieve. I just was recently reflecting on the story in John 11, where Jesus is coming up to the, you know, the after the funeral, really, of Lazarus, and you know, Martha comes out to him, and you know, she kind of fits her personality. She's able to come out there, but Mary is so broken over this that when she comes and Jesus sees her brokenness and her weeping, as you know, it's the place in the scriptures where it records that Jesus wept. And so he was identifying with our grieving, and I think we really need to receive it as a God-given emotion first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Another thing I find that people sometimes struggle with when they're grieving is they start feeling guilty if they're not grieving maybe 24/7. In other words, that perhaps the Lord puts some busyness into their schedule, and for a little while they forget about what's just happened, and then it hits them again, and then they feel guilty for not grieving earlier. So even though we should grieve, I don't think we should feel guilty if God, in the midst of great grief, gives us oases of refreshment, encouragement, laughter, even forgetting for a little bit the incredible loss that we've just gone through. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no doubt.
I know for me too, Dave's loss, as I've recorded a little bit, blogged a little bit at General Reformation's, really hit me hard because, you know, he's been a friend for 30 years, but he was also really a father figure to me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, every major decision I've made in my life as an adult, I mean, I've talked to Dave extensively about it, and you know, just not to be able to pick up the phone and have that ready counsel and everything. I was telling a friend the other day that if there's one thing that this will probably accomplish in my life, losing Dave, is that I'll pray more. Because instead of picking up the phone to call him, every time I'm prompted to do that now, I start praying. And I think that's another thing that I've had to do, is actually schedule time to grieve. Not that I'm saying schedule time to turn on the emotion of grief. I'm going to start crying now.
Right.
But right. I've cleared my calendar these last few weeks. I mean, I've been really busy with necessary things that I've already scheduled, but I've also dropped some things that I was going to do. And particularly one place where I've done that is on the Sabbath day. We typically have people in our home, and we've just needed some Sabbath to rest. And yeah. I found that's been very, very cleansing and just a helpful time to kind of recover. And my strength is gone. I sometimes just don't feel like doing anything. I don't want to do my work. I just want to sit and think. And having that Sabbath day has become a real precious time. Now that's not going to remain forever, but during this time, just scheduling some time to grieve, I think, is important.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think another thing, I mean, in talking about prayer, you know, we're not to pray to the dead. That's obviously right. Wrong to do. Our only mediator is Christ, and our only answer to our prayers is our Father. But I think sometimes it can be hard for people when they're grieving. I can't, like, I could pray for Dave when he was sick, And actually, you know, I was praying for Dave. I was actually just pleading with my family for God to spare him that Saturday night. And literally when I said amen, I got the phone call that he had passed away. Mm. And I think the thing that really hit me just right there is I can't even pray for Dave anymore. Now, of course, my prayers have been redirected. I'm praying for his wife, Jenny, and their family.
Yeah.
Certainly, I'm praying for them. But I can talk to God about Dave still. You know, I can thank God for Dave. I can tell God how much I miss him. I can bring my,
you know,
I was feeling, I was almost going to jump in the car and go out. I wish I could have been there, but just schedule-wise, and they had the pastoral help that they needed there. So, you know, I didn't need to be there. But, you know, you just wrestle through guilty feelings. I mean, you know, just all these things. Right. Even like my friendship with Dave over the years, I haven't been a perfect friend. And so just being able to be honest to God and just talk out those details about a friendship, even after the person's gone, I think that's okay. I think it's not praying to the dead, but it's praying about this person and thanking thanking God for him.
Well, and maybe, I don't know if you felt this too, but in the situations were different with Doug and Dave, but just a wrestling with God, because it for us, it was this, you can know things on paper, right? You can talk about the problem of evil, you can talk about suffering, and you can talk about death on paper, but there's such a huge difference in when you actually face it. And it just makes you wrestle with God. Like, the impulse is to really, for me anyways, to say, is this really fair? You know, God, I know you're fair, but man, this hurts so bad. And I think there's that element too. This is kind of like psalmist crying to God, wrestling with God, coming around to rejoicing and just asking for help. You're my rock. I don't know what else to do. I think there's a fair bit of that. I don't know what to make of that. Like, what is that? But is it just this emotionally soothing thing for the person? No, I don't think so. I think there's a God is a reality that we do wrestle with. You know, and just struggle with these things.
Oh yeah, I've struggled. That was another thing I could have easily brought up too. Austin, it's just the struggle of why now. Dave was, you know, getting ready to enter into a position that would have really helped us in the missions that are opening up in our part of God's kingdom. And I feel like that really ties into a lot of the things that we're trying to do educationally right now at the seminary. And just was looking forward to that. And just that's not, you know, beyond all the emotions I have with respect to his family and the loss that they've suffered, I also feel it that way for the sake of the church. And so, yeah, there's just a lot of wrestling about the whys. And I think the Lord wants us to not suppress those, but to bring those right to him and just tell him that's the way we feel. And we may not get all the answers to that, but at least we're honestly talking to God about them. And I think he wants that. Another thing that ties in here to praying honestly is one of the things I really try to encourage people who are going through grief, and I've tried to practice in this, is not to make sure you don't avoid the means of grace. I've seen people stay, now, you know, the immediacy of the death is one thing. I mean, you might not be at church right following afterward, although... And I know the family decided to go. This happened on a Saturday night, and they had to all drive home late at night, and they were exhausted from what had happened the last few days. So they weren't there Sunday morning, but they did intentionally go in the evening. And that was, to me, really admirable that they sought out the means
Yeah.
The means of grace. And I think that, you know, the place where people need to be is with God during this time. And that's going to be a church and being under the word and being in prayer. And, you know, the amazing thing that happened to me Sunday morning is as we're sitting in the service and our pastor goes to read the scriptures, he reads from 1 Thessalonians 2, which is his chosen topic for the or text for the day. And that's the passage that when I think of Dave, it's 1 Thessalonians 2:8. It's actually the passage I ended up preaching from at his funeral service. And just the ministry in my soul that God did then, you know, the comfort he brought, I just felt like I could, you know, I was experiencing those scriptures. And just the reading of the scriptures just made me start weeping. And my daughter Celia, poor girl, was sitting beside her dad crying. She's sitting there, you know, trying to comfort me. But it was precious that was happening, you know, in the house of God. Yes. And I think people need, you know, that's where, you know, the scriptures do tell us that we're to grieve with those who are suffering. And you know, part of me, I wanted to play the stoic and just act like nothing was wrong, but I found I really couldn't. And being at church helped me in some of the grief that I was going through.
Yeah, well, and yeah, you were saying how, yeah, they went to church that Sunday evening, and you know, and I was saying some of these things we wrestle with, where is God? But in one sense, yeah, God is there. It's the body of Christ, and it's almost like some of these people are his physical arms right now. And I experienced that. I was amazed, and I'm sure you can testify to this too. At the viewing, we had, like, for example, when the McKissicks showed up. We drove up from Florida, and the McKissicks showed up, and it was such a joy to be hugged by the McKissicks. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I had a really good friend who drove 3 hours from Ohio, which I didn't expect. You know, just to be there for 15, 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And give us a hug. You know, that's... I see that as... That is God's love. That's their love, and it's God's love.
Right.
Coming through. And it's wildly comforting, right? And I think you... As this means of grace, that's that edification that you get by being in the body, around God's people, the covenant blessings. It's crucial. It's crucial.
That's right. A few other things that have, you know, ministered to me and I think would help others as they grieve is one of the things that I've turned to. I'm not a, you know, a big study of student of poetry, but I'm appreciating it more maybe as I get older, but also just utilizing poetry. There's so much in the scriptures that are put into a poetic form that I think help draw out our emotions in ways that normally worded texts might not do. And so, you know, there's so many psalms of lament and of weeping. So the psalms are a ready source of that poetry. You know, there's a whole book called Lamentations, and, you know, the prophet talks about how his head has become like a fountain, and so it helps to be able to express some of the grief, some of the things that can get bottled up or in our hearts, and we can't maybe express how we're feeling. And then you just get in the Word of God, and, you know, His Spirit, it's the groaning with His words to bring out the words that we're unable to express. And so I think poetry is important. I think, you know, other forms of poetry beside that in the Bible can also be helpful. I have a book by B.M. Palmer called Death in the Home. It was originally called A Broken Home. He was a Southern Presbyterian minister, and he tragically lost several of his children to tuberculosis. And as he tells the story in this book of each one of his children, how precious they were to him, the memories he has of them, he just weaves in poetry as he tells the story. And I can't read the chapter that, even when I'm not grieving myself, without it, you know, bringing tears to my eyes. And so just, I found poetry and, you know, certain songs just really help as you're going through this. Even writing your own poetry or trying to express your feelings through poetry is helpful. I think sharing specific memories is important. And it helps the person being comforted. So I just remember hearing Jenny several different times through these last few weeks. Someone's told her something about Dave, a memory they had of Dave, and she didn't maybe know that whole story, part of the story. And just hearing about his life and how it helped someone else is just so important for us as we grieve. So I think at times we don't want to say things, we don't know what to say. I think sharing specific ways that that person was a blessing in your life and telling a story about them is really helpful. I think also I would say that you should expect friends, that God's going to use people. They're never, the person that you've lost is never going to be replaced. But God is going to bring in friends and family that will help in filling the void that's been left when you've lost, you know, father, mother, or wife, or husband. There are incredible needs that arise in many of our lives when that happens. Needs for, you know, to be taken care of, watching children, helping with the house, helping with bills. I especially think of widows. And I think there's often, you know, we want to be dependent or self-dependent. We don't want to bother people. We don't want to ask people to do things. But I think it's really important for someone who's grieving to expect friends to be sent to them that are going to help fill that void. And they should accept that. And also on the end of trying to comfort someone who's grieving, we should really be prayerfully looking at their life and thinking, what can I do to help? And rather than saying, call me if you need anything, find the thing you know they need and just go do it. so that we're not in this passive comforting state, but we're active in the comfort they're bringing. We don't want to, you know, charge in unwanted, but if we go in a gentle spirit, we really need to help people who are grieving. And I think people who are grieving, who are just really, there's something they can't do and they need the help. And if no one's offered, they should go ask. Help, you know, the elders of the church or close friends to just help them accomplish certain tasks that are just beyond them at this point in time. A couple of other things I would just say to as practical advice. I think it's important for those who are going through the affliction of loss to, you know, avoid becoming too self, let that become too much, the self, the self-centeredness of their world. In other words, that they so dwell on their own grief that they don't see the pains and grief that others are going through. And I think one of the healing things that God does, and one of the things, the ways I've seen God use grief in my own life and loss in my own life, is it's helped me to see it better in the lives of other people and be more sensitive to it. And so
that's interesting.
Go and comfort. Paul said that, you know, God has comforted us in all of our afflictions so that we may comfort you with the comfort which we have received in Christ. And so I think we need to go and share in other people's grief where that's open to us and available to us. And we have one of our pastors here, Dean. He and his wife regularly host a grief share. There's a ministry called Grief Share. I'm not real knowledgeable about it, but they just regularly host these times where people who have suffered loss can come, and it's to share, but it's also to realize there's others, you know, in your community that are grieving as well. And in our Bible study, we've been praying for the neighbors of one of our Bible study participants, a man who was gravely ill, and he just passed away. And we don't think they know the Lord, but our friends in the Bible study told them about this grief share, and this lady's been going the last few weeks, and she's starting to hear, you know, hear about the gospel of Christ. And I, that's the kind of way I want to end this, is I think grief and, you know, loss is, I mean, there's no other time like it when people are standing on the edge of eternity. And so we should be using this not in a manipulative way, but in a gracious way, bringing, using grief as a bridge about the gospel and helping people understand the gospel. You know, we've got such great promises from God in the scriptures, such as in 1 Corinthians 15. And, you know, it's just, they can be very familiar, the words in 1 Corinthians 15, but when they're read at a funeral or to those who are grieving, they just have such a power to them. From the beginning, where Paul says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. That's the gospel, is the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And then this passage goes on to talk about how Christ is the first fruits of those who are to be raised from the dead, that there's a hope that we have beyond this world that's just filled with all this death and misery. And to be able to offer that to people is such a, at this time, I think is so wonderful. And, you know, that we can, the triumphant note that this particular chapter ends on, where, you know, death is swallowed up in victory, and we almost taunt death because we know that it has been conquered in Christ, and we will see one another again, because we'll die, and we'll be in the immediate presence of the Lord, and then he's going to return and restore the heavens and the earth to their glory. And we're going to dwell in immortal bodies with one another forever and ever and ever. There'll never be any more death. And that's just an incredible message to think about in the midst of, you know, going through grief and loss. We'll see our friends again. We'll know them, and we'll never lose them again. And Jenny and I've been, we've been writing back and forth a little bit, and Jenny was just recounting how her father died, and Dave really never got to know her father, and just the thought of him now in heaven getting to meet her father, and you know, what conversations they must be having about, you know, him, you know, her father about his daughter, and Dave about his wife, and, you know, how they would be able to share that in a way that we just can't even understand. And just to think about the new heavens and the new earth, all that restoration and all those relationships that will be restored. To me, that's just a wonderful thing to offer to people. So anyway, those are just some of the things I thought I would share about grieving. And maybe you guys want to comment.
No, I was going to just piggyback a little bit on that last thing you said. It seems like it does take time to be able to think about things. At first, for the first while, it's just sheer emotion and just sorrow, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of this weird back and forth of, yes, you do laugh with people, but then you can just turn around so quickly and just be just crying and just so, just feeling this weight, this terrible weight. But after some time, you know, you were saying these promises where you're being reunited, new heavens, new earth, and that is all such, I mean, I mean, it's the greatest hope ever. But you know, not all people will be reunited, and that's the other hard side of things, is that not everyone is a child of God. And I think one of the ways to think through that is to, it really does test the faith in a different way. Do we believe that at the consummation, when everything is gathered together, and the judgment occurs and the books are opened, angels will be judged, history will be unveiled, secrets will be laid bare, and when all of this happens, is something going to occur that causes all of us to rejoice at God's justice? And the answer is yes. And what that is, I don't know, right? I think it'll be something that we see and we experience. The God I know is a God who does surprising things and who does has twists and turns, and you don't always anticipate what he's going to do. So I don't know what is going to be quite revealed, and you know, other than just his sheer glory, right? But all the different things that weave together. But there's going to be something that happens that by faith I think we can see now and we can trust in, that it will be so glorious and so wonderful that it will take these pains and transform them into joy. That's an incredible thought. I can't feel that entirely now. I don't know what that is because I'm not seeing it and experiencing it. But by faith, I know it's going to be that. Mm-hmm. And that's hard. That's a hard wrestling with God. But like so many things, like how in the world could Abraham believe, mm-hmm. you know, the things that he was told? Or that a blood, you know, sacrifice this animal and it'll do this for you. Wait, well, how's that work? You know, it mm-hmm. would take millennia before it would be fully understood. Mm-hmm. Or even like, why let a serpent into a garden? Well, all these things are, they have answers, and we have tasted, and I just know that someday we'll taste more fully and we'll really be able to rejoice.
Yeah, it's like we're, you know, the old illustration of looking at the tapestry from the backside, we see all the knots and the dangling threads and somewhat of a picture, but it's not very clear. And, you know, then we get to heaven, it'll all be turned around and we'll see more and understand far more than we can here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's where we walk by faith. Mm-hmm.